in the Wilderness, Lessons on Living from the Book of Numbers. Hi, this is Ravko Stefanovic from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are beginning a series of topics based on one of the less known books of the Bible, the Book of Numbers. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion. Kyle Craig, professor of chemistry at Walla Walla University, and Paul Dibdal, professor of religion, also here at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Yes.
Let's begin with the first topic, entitled People on the Move, and we would like to take a little time and talk about the Book of Numbers in general, and also the history of the interpretation of this biblical book. And I would like to request one of you to read Hosea 2:14 through 15.
Sure. I'll go ahead and read that. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It's the Lord speaking, and he says, "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt."
The reason why I would like us to focus on these words for a few moments is that here, Hosea, inspired by the Lord and speaking on behalf of the Lord, he talks about Israel's days in the wilderness, in the desert, after they had come out of Egypt, as a very pleasant memory of a honeymoon that God spent with his people. Now, in preparing for our discussion here, we have read the Book of Numbers. Is that what we get from the reading of this book? How would you summarize what we find in the book?
To me, this description is a pretty pleasant, like you said, a kind of a honeymoon sort of description of the time in the wilderness. When, as I read the Book of Numbers, I don't know if it's just because I tend to be pessimistic, but it seems like there are a lot of problems in the book. It doesn't seem like just a pleasant kind of honeymoon experience, but rather a difficult time. Both for the Lord and certainly for his people as they wander. So it seems like God is being quite positive with this sort of selective memory maybe in the Hosea passage. He looks at it more positively than I guess I would.
So during that honeymoon, basically, the bride constantly complained. The accommodation is not good. Not only that, there is no hot water, but there is no water at all, and the food is not good either. So constant complaints through the Book of Numbers. Why is it then that the prophet, inspired by God, speaks in these terms of the stay in the wilderness? Any idea?
Well, I think it is possible. It's not possible. It's common for us. We can go through an experience, and we basically have a choice as to how what we will focus on from that experience. So we can go on a mission trip, and, for example, the food might not be so great, the accommodation's not so good, a lot of hard work, mosquitoes, and so forth. But most of us would choose to think about other things. The impact that it had on other people, the church we were able to build, whatever it would be. And in a sense, what we choose to rehearse is what we will then remember. And it, I think God is able to do that same sort of thing. He's focusing on a positive time, and it was indeed a time of growth in spite of all the negative things that happened. Did that answer make sense, even what I was
saying? It does. Yeah. It does.
I would say that that's very true too from experiences that I've had, and I would also, you know, argue too, or go in support as well, to say that God maybe is better at remembering the positives than we would be. Mm-hmm. We would be, you know, maybe focusing on the positives, as you mentioned, the people that were baptized or the church that was built or whatnot. But we might also comment on the poor food, whereas God doesn't, you don't see anything in this passage that we read here that really suggests anything negative. At least mm-hmm. I don't see anything there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is really a special divine perspective on what happens in life. And in fact, you know, the book is filled with grumblings and rebellions coming from the people. It is true, though, that the two greatest sins in the time of Hosea were prevailing idolatry. The Israelites were serving Baals, the Canaanite deities, and also an extreme exploitation of the fellow human beings. And we cannot say that those two sins are completely absent from the book of Numbers, but it is possible that they were not as
prevalent, not as powerful, yes. And so maybe that contributes to.
Yeah, I often think
view,
like
huh?
If we remember David, why is David remembered in Israel as the legendary king? Primarily, in spite of all the mistakes that he made, David never worshipped foreign gods, and idolatry was a serious issue in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Here is another question pertaining to this passage and the book of Numbers in general. Several of the great leaders from the Bible spent an extended period of time in the wilderness. Should we follow their example? Do people feel exhausted by everything that we have around us, thanks to our digital culture? And is it good? In fact, in the past weeks, my wife and I did that for about 4 days. We were in a place without cell phone, without the internet, and it was great. We just walked from the morning until the evening in spite of the heat and everything during the summer. Some outstanding personalities of the Bible did this. So any thing positive that can come out of a wilderness experience, would you like to comment on this?
I know I love to go out in the wilderness. I'm a big national parks sort of person. And some of the parks that we've recently visited in southern Utah, there's nobody around. And you go out at night and the sky is clear and you can see the stars, and it just felt that much closer to God. I really enjoyed that part of our summer experience. And I'd like to go back as soon as possible to enjoy that again. Some people talk about mountaintop experiences, and well, I don't know. I think the desert can put a few good experiences in there too for solitude and just a grand perspective on what's out there. You can see for miles. And I think to me it's just, it's a spiritual experience. I wouldn't say I'm a leader per se, like, you know, Moses or anybody, but I imagine they would get something pretty profound from that as well.
I guess I wonder a little bit, when you say time in the wilderness, to me that can mean some different things, because, you know, Kyle talking about it, it's sort of like not a nature walk, but a time in nature, a kind of peaceful, relaxing time, but often these wilderness experiences that we read about in the Bible were not, they were times of testing and times of trial. And as I think about it, I think we should seek times of retreat and times of silence, times of solitude even. And maybe when the wilderness experience comes in the sense of testing and trial and so forth, we should accept those times as a time where growth can occur. I don't know if we should try to force those wilderness experiences into our lives, but we should accept those experiences when they come. Something good can come from it, and we see that in the experience of Jesus and certainly Israel as well.
And it is possible that that's why God led them. Yeah. Let his people into the wilderness to spend some time with him. We have a few minutes and we can look at the opening verses in the book of Numbers. And they talked basically about taking a census in two places in Numbers. This happens, and some people see it in the beginning of the book. They get discouraged, you know. They may think that the whole book indeed speaks only about numbers or reports the numbers. But
well, it is the title.
Yes, but we have large numbers that are mentioned here, 600,000 people, for example, and so on. What's the purpose of it? Why in the beginning of the book of Numbers we have the census of all these Israelites and these large numbers that pose large problems sometimes for interpretation?
Well, there are all kinds of ways that scholars have tried to deal with these numbers, as you know. It seems to me that the numbers are important. It's a time of organization where the new nation is being organized and structured. And I think a census would be an important part of that, so we would expect some numbers. I do think that sometimes numbers can become an issue that really divide, arguing about now exactly how do we take these numbers or how much importance. To me, the significant thing is it demonstrates a large community in fulfillment of the promises which have been given to Abraham that his descendants would become numerous. And whether it's, you know, how many million or 100,000, or to me, the point is that promise given to Abram has been fulfilled. And now that group is being organized for marching out into the wilderness. That to me seems a key.
So when
God has been faithful, he's fulfilled his promise, and we can see that.
So when the Israelites multiplied, it was in fulfillment to the promises that God gave to the patriarchs. Well, to summarize today's discussion, I would like to say that in spite of appearances, God's ways are trustworthy and orderly. I would like to thank both of my guests, Paul Dibdahl and Kyle Craig, for their valuable contribution to our discussion today. I also would like to thank Susan Michael, our radio technician. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the biblical book of Numbers. Thank you all for tuning in. For Good Word, I'm Zdravko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.